Let's read together Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 through 13. Here we have some more great proverbs to help us live life wisely. Let's begin our study of this first half of Proverbs 27 with some background notes. Here in this first half of Proverbs chapter 27 would be a good place to review Hebrew parallelism, because the four main types of Hebrew parallelism are all in these verses. Remember, Hebrew poetry, which includes the book of Proverbs, is not characterized by rhyme, but rather by parallelism, where the first line of a verse is in some way parallel to the second line in the verse. In synonymous parallelism, the second line of the verse reinforces the first line by saying just about the same thing as the first line, only in different words. Verse 2 here in Proverbs 27 would be an example of synonymous parallelism. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Notice how the second line says just about the same thing as the first line, just using different words. Second line, a stranger, not your own lips, just about the same as the first line, only in different words. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth. In antithetic parallelism, the thought of the second line is in contrast to the thought of the first line, and the conjunction but normally is used to join the two lines. Verse 6 is an example of antithetic parallelism. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Notice the contrast between the two lines and the telltale word but. In emblematic parallelism, a word picture in the first line is used to illustrate the thought contained in the second line, and the words like or as and so are used to connect the two. Verse 8 is a good example of emblematic parallelism. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a man who wanders from his place. Notice the word picture in the first line, like a bird that wanders from its nest. The word picture in the first line illustrating the thought of the second line with the connecting words like and so. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a man who wanders from his place. In synthetic parallelism, the second line and sometimes a third line or even more lines all add to the thought of the first line or complete it in some way. In verse 10 of Proverbs 27, we have three lines in synthetic parallelism. Verse 10, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. That's the first line. Now notice how the second and third lines add to that thought in some way. Nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Well, that brings us once again to our doctrinal point for Proverbs. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Now let's begin with verse 2 and leave verse 1 for our practical application. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Praising yourself is not only poor taste, but it is wrong. If we are to be praised at all, let someone else do it. They are more objective. Beware of autobiographies. And notice it is the stranger who is most objective in praising you, not your employees who are looking for a raise, or your students who are looking for a better grade, or some colleague who may have a secret agenda. But a stranger, that's more objective praise. Verse 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. You know, I know of a case, true story, where a carpenter fired a foolish helper and decided to do all the heavy work himself because the foolish helper just caused too many time and money consuming problems in what he said and did. Just one example. this foolish helper needed a long piece of wood and removed a board from the scaffold that the boss was using with near disastrous results. This was only the tip of the iceberg. A true story. Verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Just read the newspaper, and you will find the truth of this proverb almost every day, whether it be jealous lovers or jealous postal workers. Insane jealousy can lead to cruel and murderous results, more than just anger. Watch out for jealousy in the area of Christian service and spiritual gifts and blessings. Don't be jealous of other believers. Verse 5, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. True love is tough love. That is, it not only expresses itself during the good times, but it does not hide during the times when rebuke and discipline are needed. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Seriously speaking now, would you rather be wounded by a bullet shot by a friend or kissed by an enemy? Now, if we did not know the end of the story, we might be inclined to say, I'll take the kiss. It's a lot less painful. But now suppose you find out that the kiss by the enemy was to lure you into falling over a cliff and your friend shot you in the leg so that you fell down safely before you got to the edge of the cliff. Now which option would you select? Remember, the Lord is our best friend, and he may have to wound us at times to preserve us from danger. Verse 7, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Have you ever been so full of food that even a piece of chocolate didn't appeal to you? Have you ever been so hungry that you were willing to eat cat food? This proverb, of course, has plenty of application. Material possessions, pleasant experiences, education, even spiritual blessings. We don't appreciate what we have until we don't have it. Illustration. I remember preaching a sermon at a small country church. The people loved it and ate it up. They had a real hunger for the word. The sermon was the same material that I had just taught my students at Bible college the day before, and yet they did not seem to appreciate or be blessed in the same way. I think one student even fell asleep during my presentation. Why the difference? These students had plenty of Bible teaching each and every day, and sometimes you don't appreciate what you have until you don't have it. Verse 8, like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a man who wanders from his place. When you leave the security of your home and the fellowship of your family, for whatever reason, you are more at risk and vulnerable to all kinds of pitfalls as a young bird out of the nest. This is a good proverb to give as a warning to your kids leaving home for college or the military. Verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. In general, the ancient use of olive oil and perfume was a pleasant experience. So in general is the counsel of a good friend. Verse 10, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. This proverb gives us some very good common sense and practical advice. The overall point of the proverb is to maintain close family relationships, because in times of crisis, a close friend may be more helpful than a distant relative. And as Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and certainly can be applied to our Lord himself. Verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. What's the best proof possible to show the competence of a parent or teacher? Answer, look at the children or students, as the case may be. Now, interesting side note here. As I was preparing this talk, just as I was reading and thinking about this proverb, the phone rang. It was one of my former students calling to ask me a question about the Bible and to share with me how the Lord was blessing his life and using him in Christian service. Very encouraging. Verse 12, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. This proverb is very similar to Proverbs 22, verse 3, which says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. To paraphrase this proverb, in insurance terms would be, a prudent man or a prudent person foresees evil and buys insurance. The simple or naive who don't think ahead and don't see potential danger or calamity don't buy insurance and may end up in big financial trouble. By the way, buying insurance does not mean that you are not depending on the Lord. It's one means the Lord gives to take care of us. Verse 13, take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. Now, what's this proverb all about anyway? Here again is a proverb about surety or co-signing for a loan or some kind of financial guarantee. Now, there are various translations of this proverb, but the main idea is that the greater the risk of financial default, the greater the caution and control you need to exercise. The proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us to our practical application for this first half of Proverbs 27. Don't presume when you plan. Don't presume when you plan. Let's go back to verse 1 for our practical application. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Now, does this proverb mean that you should not plan ahead? No, it doesn't mean that. Of course not. Remember the balance of Scripture. Even in this chapter of Proverbs, we've already seen where you are not wise if you don't think ahead. The point of verse 1 is not that it's wrong to plan ahead, but it's wrong to assume that you know the future and take the future for granted. We don't know what a day may bring forth. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 also gives us the balance of Scripture here. I'm reading from James 4, beginning with verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. From James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It's okay to plan ahead, but always with the attitude of, if the Lord wills, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So don't presume when you plan.